Wintrust Business Lunchtime with Terry Savage on a Wednesday. TerrySavage.com is the website for the syndicated financial columnist, and she joins us in the studio. You are listening to David Hochberg. He's very angry about this real estate title transfer tax. Do you have anything to say about that? We don't have to dwell on it.
No, I will tell you, I agree with him 100%. Yeah. I mean, I listened to most of it. I was driving over. 100%. This is an old lesson in economics that I learned way, way, way back. That which you tax, you get less of. That which you subsidize, you get more of. So we tax growth and income and investments, and we subsidize all the things you can think of that we subsidize. We get more of those things. We get less. He was the basic principle David made. I mean, he made so many good points. But the goal is not to take chunks out of the existing pie, but to grow the pie. Economic growth is the answer. And these proposals are so counterproductive. I was driving down Michigan Avenue when he said, have you, I haven't been in Watertower
have
in
you
forever,
been to Michigan
but have
Avenue
you,
lately,
but
yeah.
Michigan Avenue, I remember 10, 15 years ago, I had a friend who was in the real estate business. People would wait for a store to become vacant on the ground level. And now you're right, he's right. It's boarded up, it's just shocking.
It's not boarded up, shockingly, but it's not.
They're not
as
boarded up in that sense,
was.
But no, they're painted over. You know, you could tell what used to be this, what used to be that. If you've lived around here for a long time, you realize what's happening.
He also had a few things to say about student debt, and that at the end of this month,
whoa,
you have to make your payments.
Well, so he mentioned that he had a client. I have been saying, as you know, for months now, that the real shocking turn for the economy would come. There's a column up from 3 or 4 weeks ago about student loan shock, when people realized not only what they had to pay, but that it was imminent. He mentioned that he had someone who had a couple $100 a month expected bill, but because she got married and then they filed jointly, her bill jumped to $1,000. Well, that's what Ray Kaplan and I are continually talking about. If you go, if that person was listening, go to studentaid.gov/IB our income-based repayment, and click on the new SAVE program. You can read about it in that column that's up at terrysavage.com. When the Supreme Court told the administration, no, you just can't go giving away $10,000 here and $20,000 there, they said, okay, what we'll do is we'll work with the existing income-based repayment plans that we have, that we've always had. I've written about them for years. And what we're going to do is make them, for lack of a better word, more generous. We are going to raise the income limits. We're going to lower the percentage of your income that qualifies you. And one of the things they did was say, you do not have to consider your spouse's income.
Yeah, right.
So she could probably go immediately, and 4 million people have already, student loan borrowers, to studentaid.gov and IBR/IBR. And click on the SAVE program.
Yeah, S-A-V-E.
S-A-V-E. You apply right there online. You've got your student loan numbers. And the fact is, interest started accruing yesterday or whatever. I guess yesterday was the first business day. The first bill is due on October 1st, and it includes interest which hadn't been accruing since March of 2020. So it is not too late to do that. You don't have to be a genius to do that. However, if you have complicated things like different years of loans, perhaps, that's not even it, but a complicated situation, undergrad loans and graduate loans, that's when you call Ray Kaplan.
Yeah.
Okay. RayKaplan.com, RaeKaplan.com.
That's true.
Do you like her new website? I sent her to my website, people. I said 6 months ago, Ray will tell you this. She's probably listening because we're on the phone before. I said, when this thing starts up again this summer, which I thought it would be in the summer, you got to be ready for it. And so I love her new website.
Yeah, well, and in fact, I was on the...
By the way, I should give him a shout out. It's Fortress. Go Fortress in Chicago.
Is
Go
the
Fortress.
Web developer that
the
you
web
used?
Developer. Yeah, Fortress. Yeah. They are incredible.
Terry Savage is in the studio. What's going on with the markets, Terry?
Markets are worried about interest rates. Some strong economic news today about from the Institute of Supply Management. This is news about the strength in the economy.
The economy is strong.
Leads people to fear that the Fed, at its September meeting, will raise rates. Now, there was almost universal consensus that they'd skip a rate increase in September. A couple of Fed speakers have been out. They have the Fed governors coming out and going on various TV shows thinking, well, you know, nobody said anything that made headlines. But now we've got some strong economic numbers. And I'm looking, let me just look.
What does a strong economic number mean? Like retail sales are good?
No, this was in this was in things like the Institute of Supply Management. So what it says is there's strength in the economy. That's like when you, did you ever go camping on when you were a kid, Boy Scout camp or something, and they bank the fire for a night, but there are a few little embers glowing. And if you peek out your tent, you could see a few flames shoot up. And if there's any fuel out there, you know, all of a sudden you have a couple of little branches burning. So that's what they're worried about, that the inflation is not totally out and dead. And I'm looking right now, six-month T-bills up a bit to 5.55%. We had the auction yesterday. Was it tinge lower?
That's funny, though, because
treasury,
I think... Go ahead.
The 10-year treasury is at 4.28. It was at 4.3%.
I thought some people thought that given the lag time between the Fed's actions and its impact... Why are you raising your hands?
That's the gazillion-dollar question. That's the multi-trillion-dollar question. Did they do enough already, or did they not? They're more worried about inflation flaring up. They're going to just dump some more dirt on this fire by raising interest rates, on the embers, I should say.
I get that.
By raising rates. And that's, it's not a game. I mean, this is life or death for our economy. It's a recession or inflation kind of a discussion that goes on in the markets. Every market, interest rate markets, stock markets. If there's going to be inflation, will this stock beat it? If there's going to be inflation, how long do you want to lock up your money? I wrote a column about that. It's up at terrysavage.com that ran over the holidays. So it's not that I don't know or you don't know. It's that the markets are trying to sort it out. And only one person will know for sure on the day it's done, and that's the Fed chairman.
Here's some questions for 312-981-7200. Hey, Terry, I need tickets for the Thomas Jefferson show that John's hosting. Oh, wait, that's a tick. Go to WGNradio.com/TJ.
Tell more. I know about it, but when's the next one?
It's going to be November the... Hold on, let me get my one sheet out on this so I make sure I get it exactly right. Pete, are you in my ear on this? November 4th, yeah, at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove.
All right. And what happens?
Saturday. I come out onto the stage with the third president of the United States. He's in period costume. I'm not. I talk to him about what life was like back then, why they did and said the things they did and said and do. For instance, what would the founding father say about term limits now after Mitch McConnell and senator...
Oh, you mean for members of Congress? So nobody lived
Dianne
past...
Feinstein.
The average age was 65,
it's
you know, in
that
1950.
He makes often. Yeah. He also reminds us, he said, look, you guys should tear up the Constitution every 19 years anyway. He said, once a generation, which in his era was about 19 uh-huh. years, you guys should start all over from scratch. Why are you trying
God
to figure
save us
out
all.
The internet and machine guns and reproductive rights of women with a document that was written in the 18th century? You should be figuring it out in 21st century language.
Do you realize how remarkable their compromises were at that time? You hit my sweet spot. You know, I'm an American studies major. They made some remarkable compromises. For example, one day do one on financials. Jefferson and Hamilton were polar opposites. And Hamilton wanted a strong central bank, a treasury. Jefferson was all for the rights of the people in the states to control money and so forth. There were big, huge economic disagreements and many other disagreements in that era when they did the Constitution. But what was different then than now is they sat down, they talked about them, they worked them out, they made some compromises, and thus we have our Constitution, or the basic Constitution, and minus all the amendments that came afterward. But today, we don't seem to live in an era where if they all sit, I mean, they sit down all the time in Congress, they get nothing done because nobody will talk or listen, maybe better because they won't listen.
Here's the next question for Terry Savage. I paid off all my credit cards.
Good.
Will that hurt my credit score if I cancel the account with a yearly fee? So one of the cards has an annual fee. They want to get rid of that card. Does that hurt them?
Okay, so you're going to need a credit card or two to show that you're regularly charging and repaying in full and on time. That'll keep your credit score high. Sadly, even if it costs you a little bit, it's probably worth it. You need to keep your longest held card. So if that one with $150 annual fee was one you took out in 2002, But the more recent cards that you've paid off, you took out 5 or 4, 5, 6 years ago just to get the bonus points or just to get the travel something or other. You can cancel those, but hang on to your oldest card. It makes a difference.
Terry, doesn't signing up for the Save plan increase the amount you will pay overall? That's one of the cautions on the website. It says this may mean, because you're going to stretch out the payment plan longer, that you'll end up paying more. It's not true for everybody.
Well, it depends exactly on the terms of your loan, because it's very possible that after 10 years of reduced payments, even, this is a horrible thing to think about. I'm trying to remember the numbers. I'll have to put my column up, but you might be at the level where you qualify. I think it's on 32,000 some hundred under that income level as an individual filer, or for a family of four, it's something. It's 67,000, I think, 500. Don't quote me on the specifics. You don't have any payments, and if you went 10 years still qualifying, which would be hard to think that you were still making that little money in 10 years after a college
payments,
education.
It's all goes
but
away.
The rest of it would be forgiven.
Yeah.
So you. They have a wonderful calculator about all the potential plans right at studentaid.ed.gov.
That's the calculation that my son and I were making. I said, well, you'll still owe money after 10 years, but then you won't have to make payments anyway. So reduce the payments.
If you can stick to the plan, right.
Susan, what can we do for you?
Hi there. I'm a widowed lady in my 80s, and I have paid my car for my car for my home. I have a good retirement. I'm in good health. I've got about $75,000 in savings. It's making very, very little interest for me. I'm sure my bank is having a ball with it. But I would like to know what I should do with that. Didn't put T-bonds or something else.
Yeah, Susan. First of all, I was just knocking on wood when you said all those good things about your life, and I'm glad you have some savings. And we've talked a lot about treasury bills. Those are short-term IOUs from the government, 3 and 6 months, currently paying about 5.5%. We don't know what the rates will be 6 months from now when they mature, but you roll them over typically. And if you go, are you online, Susan? Do you go to websites?
Yes, I can.
Okay, just go to terrysavage.com, T-E-R-R-Y. SAVAGE.com. Look over to the right and scroll down a little under financial links, and there's a little box there that says how to buy T-bills. And that's what you should do. And you should stagger your purchases, maybe buy $5,000 or $10,000 worth in next week, and then wait 3 weeks and buy another $10,000. You'll leave some in your money market for liquidity if an emergency comes up. But you could take $50,000 of that, and you can earn a lot more safely from the U.S. government.
Okay. How do you think I should make them out in just my name or one of my child's children's?
No, great thought. Do you have an estate plan, Susan? Did you make a will or a living trust?
Yes, I do.
Oh, if you have a revocable living trust, you should open the account in the name of your revocable living trust. It uses your Social Security number, and the account at the bank should also be named into your revocable living trust. It's easy to do. Just show them the first two pages of your trust document.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's the kind of, if I really got a trust, but I know I've got a will.
Okay, then
I do have beneficiaries on them.
Okay, well, you can name a beneficiary on your treasury account. That's also easy to do. Just take a look at the instructions. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Sure.
It's good advice, and I think a lot of people wonder what to do if they've got $75,000 burning a hole in their pocket, or 50 or 30, and the obligation is short-term in an instrument like that.
Here's a reminder. In, 2 weeks, or September 15th, that's like any minute, your quarterly estimated tax payments are due, those of you who make them. So a lot of people keep some money sitting around for that.
773 says, I've got a question for Terry. I love this segment, by the way. I have a stack of double E bonds. I don't know how much I have, but I've got about $5,000 minimum, if not quite matured. Should I cash them in and invest them in something else?
No, because those, if they're not quite matured, that means they're old bonds, and many of them have a very high floor. So you wait until after they mature, and then you go to treasurydirect.gov, and in the little search box, put cash in paper bonds, and there's a whole instruction list. on how you send those bonds in, registered, certified. It takes a few weeks to get the money back. But wait until they mature. You'll owe taxes on all that's due. But it's a blanket statement, but most of those older bonds do carry a higher floor, and you'd be better off waiting.
My wife and I have multiple I-bonds. Can I move them all under our trust? Thanks.
Yeah, there's a process for changing the name on your account. You should have bought them in the name of your revocable living trust. It uses your Social Security number. If you'll send me an email or post on my Ask Terry blog, I'll get you a link on how to deal with that.
My daughter is a high school senior. How does she shop for college loans, et cetera? They got to get some money.
Yeah, I hope it's a senior just going into high school. Okay, the first stop is, it's about time. Thank you. It's an idea. I'm going to write a column all about this. First stop is your student aid office, your high school guidance counselor. You have to think about where you might want to be going to school and what the COA is, the cost of attendance. Then, pretty soon, you'll be able to fill out the FAFSA form, because that's coming up now, the free application for federal student aid. I'm going to have to put this all together. This is my next column. And you will see what federal student loans you qualify for. Immediately, go to scholarships.com or FastWeb, FASTWEB.com. Those are the two sites where you want to go right now and see, register. They're going to send you information about, you know, getting bedspreads for your dorm room next year. But it's worth registering, because you can put in everything about yourself. You might qualify, if you do some work, for free money scholarships. So those are the basic things. Start at your guidance office. It depends, again, on the school as well.
What's your umbrella statement about borrowing money for college?
Borrow as little as you can. And I'm going to make a big statement. You've heard me make this for 5, 10 years.
They're not going to like
this. Parent plus loans are the worst, most expensive, most horrible loans you can take out. They're the highest rate. They've got fees. Do not take out a parent plus loan to make up the gap
between what you save. Does Ray agree with you on that, by the way?
She knows some ways around them once you've gotten them and you're buried in them. But I bet she would. I mean, if you have to borrow, start with federal student loans. Start with a realistic evaluation of why you're going to college, what that school costs, whether you might not be better living at home for 2 years and transferring. Start with an understanding that not everybody has to go to college, especially, I mean, I'm all in favor of a liberal arts education. I'm the product of one. But these days, it costs too much. The tuitions are too high. And by the way, there's going to be some pressure on tuition because so many families are beginning to think this way. So there's a great book, I'm trying to remember, The Price You Pay for College by, having a mental block on his name, but The Price You Pay for College. I wrote a review of it when it came out a year ago. It's a real way to rethink what the value of college is and what college you should go to.
Let us know when that new column goes up and you kind of walk people through this.
I will in the next week.
Although I think you just did write the new column. More business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Treehouse Foods is selling its snack bar business for $63 million. The Oak Brook-based company is selling to John B. Sanfilippo & Son in Elgin. The company makes, packages, and distributes nuts, cheese, and snack bars, including brands like Orchard Valley Harvest and Southern Style Nuts. Cranes reports the deal is expected to close in about a month. Treehouse is the largest manufacturer of private label food products in North America. It used to be part of Dean Foods. A major technical problem led to a ground stop for United Airlines on Tuesday. The company today says it was not a cybersecurity issue. The Chicago-based airline blames the problem on a failed computer software update. The issue forced the company to keep planes on the ground for more than an hour. United flights have been moving normally today, except for a few. United flights have been moving normally today, except for a few delays caused by the weather. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food with Steve Alexander.
Thank you. If you're nosy, perhaps a voyeur, Saturday is your day.
Yes.
He'll explain after I thank the Chevy Silverado HD for sponsoring us today. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, the voyeur thing?
You get to look in their living rooms. You'll get to look in their gardens.
Yep, it all happens Saturday. The Logan Square House and Garden Walk, where the curious among us can get get a peek behind the walls at other people's gardens and houses?
Yes, precisely. The whole point is getting an opportunity as a member of the public to set foot inside spaces that you might have only glimpsed over a fence or, you know, through the blinds of a window as you walked by.
Andrew Schneider is president of the group putting this on, Logan Square Preservation, which is what?
Logan Square Preservation is a community organization. We've been advocating for the preservation of historic buildings and working to enhance the built environment and the green infrastructure of the neighborhood, so think tree planting, for the last 40 years.
And over recent years, the group has planted hundreds of trees on the boulevards, replacing elm and ash trees lost to disease. There is a lot of history in Logan Square, much of it Norwegian.
Right around the turn of the 20th century, there were 48,000 Norwegians living in Chicago, which doesn't sound like a huge number until you know, realize that that's bigger than every city in Norway at the time but Oslo.
A lot of those people used to hang out at one of the beautiful old buildings on the tour. Is it the Norske Club?
Norske Klub, actually. It was founded as a fraternal organization for Norwegians. They were focused on art and culture, but particularly around Norwegian art and culture.
That big old building was converted to condos many years ago, and one of the homes on the top floor you can look at includes a huge fireplace in the living room.
The mantle is 8 feet off the ground, right? This is a fireplace that you could roast a pig in. It's giant.
There are 13 stops in all on the Saturday tour. For more info and tickets,
at logansquarepreservation.org, $30 in advance, $40 a day of the walk, and we also have a VIP skip the line ticket. That's a $100 ticket. It allows you to get a free drink with that and a tote bag, and then you get to walk right up to the front door of these places and skip the line.
It's a money raiser for the organization, the 34th Logan Square House and Garden Walk, Saturday from 10 to 5, and ought to be great weather. From the dairy farm to your belly, today's National Coffee Ice Cream Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
What are you looking at, Terry Savage?
Okay, I want to make, if you've got a pencil, paper, or you're going to write things down, stop at a stoplight and put a note in your phone. I mentioned three websites, and I want to clarify and go back to them. First of all, I want to apologize to my good friend Ron Lieber, who wrote the fabulous book called The Price You Pay for College. I know it's on Amazon. I just looked it up. It's at $10.28 at Walmart, $12.39 at Target. Ron Lieber, L-I-E-B-E-R, The Price You Pay for College. It's the starting point for, you get this if your kids are high schoolers, freshman, sophomore, junior. Read this book first. This is not about the details of where I apply, but it's the thought process and some really wonderful tips on getting more financial aid. Second is, I mentioned for people who are worried about restarting their student loans and finding there's going to be big payments, the new SAVE, S-A-V-E program. So go to studentaid, all one word, studentaid.gov. And I was fooling around trying to figure out how to get you to the right spot. In that little search box, put the word SAVE, S-A-V-E. It'll lead you to a place the top article describes. It's a link to the new SAVE program. It explains it and a link to apply for it. So if you haven't done it already, do it immediately. As student loan repayments start, you may be able to cut your repayments dramatically. New formulas, don't include your spouse's income, broader base of income. It really could be an opportunity for you. And finally, someone said, what was the website of the people who did your website? My website and Ray Kaplan's website, raykaplan.com and terrysavage.com, were created by the folks at gofortress.com, G-O-F-O-R-T-R-E-S-S.com. Yeah, it's a commercial for them, but mine's done. They're wonderful people. They help with everything. So I sent Ray over there. I actually met her over there and said, this is what I think you should do. And they took it from there.
Imagine
they did
that.
It all.
Imagine that. You volunteering your opinion to help somebody. But you
okay.
did, and it worked.
Joel Matthew at Go Fortress
you
is a
shared
great,
the site
great
with me. I
guy.
Think it looks really good.
It is.
Let's talk to Mark. You're on okay. WGN with Terry Savage. Mark, what can we do for you?
Hi. Earlier today in the first segment, you asked Terry what a good economic number means. When the government comes out with numbers like GDP or CPI, down the road, they always seem to revise them. What does that mean, and which is the real number?
The real number is the most recent number. The revisions are important only in the direction. Are they revised up or down in the case of economic growth or unemployment numbers or job numbers of any sort? New data comes in. It just shows you how imprecise a science economics is. The markets react initially to the initial number. And then just like this last week, we had some revisions on the unemployment number. But most of the focus is on the current number, unless there are huge revisions in the same direction for two previous reports, that might make a difference.
I get the feeling Mark's thinking that they're fudging a little bit, that they're tweaking them to their advantage.
No. Those numbers come from bureaucrats who are really bureaucrats that have been there for a long, long time. They take the data, then subsequent data might come in, or a seasonal revision might get changed, or something like that. I have a lot of things to worry about in government, but I really don't worry about the numbers that they give out.
Hey, Terry Savage, what's your opinion on transfer upon death? I have all my ducks in a row. I read an article of transfer upon death regarding my home. What's your opinion about transfer upon death?
So here's my question. What if you don't die, but you have a stroke? You can't speak. You can't talk. What if you have dementia and you are no longer capable? Transfer on death deals with one event after you die. A revocable living trust deals with someone to take over without going to court and declaring you incompetent, without having doctors, a whole big production with doctors declaring you incompetent. Your successor trustee is automatically empowered to things like, you had a stroke. We want a private nurse in there for dad round the clock, even though he's in the hospital. Okay, I can pay for that out of dad's money market account. Any kind of decision. This is silly. He'll never come back home again. Let's sell the house. Well, maybe you don't want to sell the house because there's a tax thing that might make you want to wait till the person passes. But it gives you the possibility that you should sell that house, your successor trustee you've named, and pay for long-term care. So transfer on death is okay if you die. But if somebody needs to take over before you die, you need a revocable living trust. And all those accounts renamed, retitled, in the name of the revocable living trust, no tax consequence for doing that retirement.
Let's see if you can do this one in 40 seconds. Okay. I've got a credit card with a limit of $1,200. Recently, I received notice that instead of being a no annual fee card, that they were going to start charging $8 a month as a membership fee. Is it worth it, or should I just dump this card and say adios?
Say adios. Go to creditcards.com and look for a credit card. If you had such a low annual limit, maybe you don't have a great credit history, but maybe you want to start with a secured card. So if you go to creditcards.com, you can look at secured cards. If you could put $2,500 in a savings account at the issuing bank, that will be your credit limit. You'll charge and repay in full and on time. And pretty soon you'll get offers of, here's a $10,000 limit. Be careful. But in fact, no, dump that deal. They're trying to rip you off.
You've got an announcement coming up soon.
I can't tell you.
And don't tell me now, but very soon it'll be really fun to hear what you're going to say. In the meantime, come back next Wednesday and do some more of this.
I'd love to. Thanks.